461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2, says the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a comforting statement for me. Forever. How long is that? It's forever. How long is forever? It is forever. And I'm thankful that we can place our head on the pillow of the promises of the Word of God and the blessings through the Lord Jesus Christ in studying His Word, knowing His Word, and applying His Word. However, when we talk about truth, it was the secularist George Orwell of yesteryear. Orwell, the secularist that wrote the dystopian novel entitled 1984, made a profound statement. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be factual today. And I think it's becoming more and more prominent as we witness today in the House and the Senate. With the left on the left side of the aisle and the right on the right side of the aisle, as it is called, we have the intervention of the socialist, Marxist, communist movement today, of which, by the way, we're going to talk about in a moment. We find that movement today, and we find on both sides of the aisle those that are either reluctantly or openly embracing Islam and the Islamic movement to dominate America, without the realization and the recognition that incrementally, for over 1,400 years, the carrying out of Muhammad's plan and so-called Allah, the false, phony, fake God called Allah, there's a movement to dominate the world, to dominate not just America, not just Europe, but the whole wide world. So we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, truth, and honor truth of the Word of God. God's Word warns us, by the way. We'll talk about that today. We're going to be talking about our watchman on the wall. Do we have those in the House and the Senate that we could point to and say, there's a watchman looking out for America, warning of danger to come? We find in the book of Ezekiel a very, very good study. We'll talk about it later. Ezekiel chapter 33, where God appoints him, calls him, sets him aside as a watchman on the wall. We're going to talk about the source of the warning and the scope of the warning and what needs to take place today based on what we see in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We need to recognize truth does not change. You can't modulate, modify, in any way violate truth and still call it truth. You've heard me say a million times on this broadcast, you can't bifurcate truth. A half truth is a whole lie. And yet we find that being attempted today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline I'm looking at says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint says. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, I recognize that fully, and there's a greater and greater recognition of it by those that are sticking to the Word of God as the days come and go. Yet there's an element today that's frightening. There's an element today that should be concerning for every Christian, for every conservative, for every patriot that's tuned in even now. And that is that about 55% of the younger Americans, as the headline calls it, that says there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, in part, this is what that group says based on the latest research on the subject. They say that each person determines their own version of truth. I think that is frightening. It says for the ages 30 to 40, 46% believe each person can pick the truth they like. Ages 41 through 55, 35%. For those 56 and 65%, 65, it was 31%. For those over 65, it was 32%. With the mindset, ladies and gentlemen, that you can pick, somebody can say something. But let me just tuck this in. Years ago, my wife and I would listen to news and think, that's news. It must be facts. We can embrace it and recognize it as really what's happening. The more we understand the system, ladies and gentlemen, in which we're living today, the more we should recognize that there's an attempt to violate truth at every juncture, to modulate, to modify, to undermine, and to destroy the ethical values of truth, the moral values of truth. I am saddened to see that in the statistical data. And yet I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And it goes on to talk about the three areas that is least likely to embrace truth. And that is the educational system, the media, and of all things, the politicians. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those three areas just about blanket society as we know it today. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. They made a powerful statement. It says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That is my, how would you say, point that I need to make, try to make, and advocate for each and every day on this broadcast. As Christians, it's our responsibility to seek truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it even to death. And may I say, in quick recognition and reference, we had one, Charlie Kirk. That's what he was doing when his life was taken by an assassin's bullet, simply because he was telling the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that 100% of what he said I agree with, because I've not heard all that he said. But all that I have heard that he said, he was on target. In fact, he was more faithful with challenging, with a pointed statement, with a poignant position. He was more faithful than most Christians today of facing the issues and taking a stand on it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment. We'll do a brief monologue, and after the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion today. What is it about a watchman that we do not know? What is it about having a watchman that we need to know? Who would you say would be our watchman on the wall warning of danger ahead in society today in the United States of America? I pray that you're a watchman. I pray that as a Christian, as a conservative, as a patriot, that you're willing to take a stand, not running hide under the bed, not hide in the closet when there's danger ahead, that you would warn of danger ahead. A watchman. Now, I was talking with one of our sons, Greg, on the telephone last evening, and we touched on this in a little different fashion. We talked about the fact that when we have those that are willing to be a watchman on the wall, what does it mean? Do we have watchmen on the wall in the political realm? Do we have watchmen on the wall in the spiritual realm? There are too many pastors today, may I be bold and say, too many pastors today that are afraid that if they confront Islam, or if they confront the socialist Marxist media, or if they confront the socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, that somehow, some way, they'll lose face, lose position, might lose their job. If you're afraid of losing a job and you're a pastor, you need to get a job painting houses. That's honorable, and it's honest work. But ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about a watchman on the wall, we find very few today that's willing to be a watchman. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. What does it mean? Today, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the world is awaiting the next stage in the war in the Middle East. Now, listen very carefully. I'm going to use this as introductory remarks to get into the point of where we're going. We're witnessing President Donald J. Trump, that I believe God divinely intervened and gave us his second administration, Trump 47. To do exactly what he's doing, to confront the enemy, to face the enemy, to do what God would have us to do to protect America. But he's being demeaned, defied, and defiled on every turn. Would you have ever dreamed that the Pope, of all people, would become involved in conflict and contradiction and challenging our president? Because he was born in Chicago, I think he has the mindset that his job and responsibility is to confront our president. I'm concerned when I see the Pope standing up and trying to tell President Trump what he should do, what he should not do, and still think that he's the Pope. Listen, the Pope he may be, but God he ain't. That's poor grammar, but it makes a point. The Pope is not God. The Pope does not speak for God, contrary to what millions may be thinking and some even now listening. You'll not find popery any place in the Scripture. You're not find it where the Pope is supposed to be the vicar of God, and what he says is, as God speaks. And that is simply not true. It's a demonic lie. But we have billions across around the world today that follows that, and somehow, some way, the Pope feels embraced, improved to the point that he thinks that he can confront, empowered, is the word I'm looking for, to think that he can confront the President of the United States and chide him and saying that war ought not to be, that he's killing people that should not be killed. Ladies and gentlemen, you didn't hear the Pope jumping into the fray when Nagasaki and Hiroshima were bombed to end World War II. You didn't see the Pope jumping into the picture and saying something about Barack Obama when he went in and blasted Bill Clinton when he went in and blasted some aspirin factory on the premise that he was going to go after the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make, we're witnessing today with what is the continuum of World War III. Yes, you heard me. World War III. that the Bible calls the war with Russia, Ezekiel 38 and 39. I said four and a half years ago, when the invasion of Ukraine took place at the hands of Putin, the Russian oligarch that is in control of Russia, that this was the beginning. That's been 4.5 years. I believe we're witnessing the broadening of that. I believe we're now recognizing, understanding the involvement of China and Russia upholding the hands of the Iranians. But ladies and gentlemen, the Middle East, I believe we need to recognize that the Marxist media and the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party are all condemning President Trump. Even as I said, the Pope now wants to direct the president as to what he needs to say and do. How did we get to this place where it appears that most of the government leadership and all of the media and multitudes of the population are siding with the enemy within? I would have never dreamed that we'd come to the point. Listen, we're in a war. You can call it a skirmish. You can call it a some kind of confused action. All you want to win a war. And I believe it is something that will continue to fester and permeate and broaden until it gets into the effects that is found in Ezekiel 38 and 39. In fact, I have a book in my hand that I had the privilege of publishing a few years ago called The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. And in part, on page 22 of the book, it talks about an imam that has set up a goal and a plan. His plan and goals are the same with the most Muslims living in the U.S. and all of Europe. Among the many Islamic plans of action, a few resolutions from the charter are illustrated below. Quote, we resolve to shape the ideas, the beliefs, and the moral viewpoints of the people into an Islamic mold. Toward the end, we will, and all are willing, develop the comprehensive educational system that is necessary to inform, inspire, and direct the society toward an Islamic revolution. We resolve to utilize all the tools of Islam to develop an analysis and plan of action to totally and completely obliterate the hold of anything that would prevent Islam from taking complete control of our lives and ultimately the lives of all human beings on the earth. To enable Islam to take control of the lives of all human beings on earth. Notice that this is not an opinion shared by a lone radical, but it is the mainstream view of Muslims around the world. The word Islam means submission, and Muslims see their mission is to make you submit to Islam and to Allah everywhere around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the enemy within. Through the Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, auto-pen Joe, and his leadership, lack of leadership for 4 years, we had somewhere between 20 and 25 million illegal jihadists coming into America. Now, the multitudes of those were coming out of Islamic nations with the mindset that we're not going to assimilate, but we're going to dominate. That's what's taking place. And the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that is frightening when you recognize it is the support of the Democratic Party. Listen to this article. Are you safer next to someone shouting Allah Akbar or someone in a MAGA hat? Man on the street interview has stunning answers. How dumb to choose jihad, who literally wants to slit your throats, force everyone to convert, enslave women, and destroy everything that you hold dear. A man on the streets interview has delivered a stunning revelation about Democrats in America. They would rather be with radical Islamics whose goal is to slit the throats and enslave women than Trump supporters who want to make America great again. Delusional Democrats admit that they have more in common with radical Islam than Trump supporters and would feel safer next to someone shouting Allah Akbar than someone in a MAGA hat in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't explain it any better than those words. We have a mindset today somehow, some way, that we can appease the enemy. We have a mindset somehow, some way, even with Christians that feel, well, they're Islamic. That's their religion. That's their right to their religion. And we need to uphold them, love them, and embrace them, and not in any way say that they're wrong and point out the danger. You know why? Because in America, most Christians are ignorant of the Bible. Most Christians are ignorant of what Islam is, what Islam is for, and what Islam's goal is. The demographers in 2009 said that by 2040, America would be controlled by Islam. Now we have some politicians that are finally recognizing that. we have some conservative Republican politicians are trying to do something about it. I'm looking at a headline. What is Sharia Free America Caucus? Congressman Brandon Gills joins GOP-backed controversial group. The Sharia Free, Sharia means Sharia law, it's talking about Islamic law. Sharia Free America Caucus aims to oppose what its founders described as the influence of the spread of Sharia law in the United States. It was launched by Representative Keith South and Chip Roy, and they're both Republican House members out of Texas, and has quickly grown to include 26 lawmakers from 17 states. Now, that headline is just a few weeks old, and it's behind schedule. There's about 46 to 48 lawmakers in 27 states that now have embraced that Sharia-free caucus. This article goes on. Proposals associated with the caucus include efforts to ban foreign nationals, listen, foreign nationals who advocate Sharia from entering the country and to affirm the U.S. law rather than any foreign religion, legal code, government American agents in society. U.S. Congressman Brandon Gill joined over a dozen Republican lawmakers to back the newly formed Sharia Free America Caucus. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read and read and read. It's a large article. The point being, there's a major need today to recognize Sharia, and that is Islamic law. Islamic law says that for every Muslim, there is a requirement, not an option, a requirement to commit martyrdom as your insurance policy to go to paradise. For the Muslim, there's no worry about concern about being killed in a martyrdom attack, because in doing so, that's the guarantee, according to the idiocy in the Quran, that you'll go to paradise and have 72 virgins perpetually. Now, I'm looking at the Noble Quran. The Noble Quran is the Islamic scholar's choice of Qurans. And the Noble Quran, when it comes to talking about carrying out a battle or taking a life for what is called jihad, and Surah 2190, that's chapter 2190, and fight in the way of Allah, those who fight you but transgress not the limits, truly Allah likes not the transgressors, was revealed commonly. This was first revealed commonly in connection with jihad, but it was supplanted by Surah 936, which also carries out the mandate for jihad. Now, the footnote by the Islamic scholars on this page in the Noble Quran says, it is the duty of all of Islam on every for every Muslim, and he is to he who tries to escape from the duty of jihad or does not in the innermost heart wish to fulfill this duty dies with one with the qualities of a hypocrite. And it goes on to say, to participate in jihad is for Allah's cause and is required for and the duty of every Muslim. Now, ladies and gentlemen, simply put this way, if you say, well, that's a Muslim, and he's not been in any way radicalized. That's a lie. If a Muslim believes the Quran, if a Muslim wants to appease Allah, if a Muslim wants to follow in the footsteps of Muhammad, given an opportunity, he wants to kill me and kill you. I'm looking at another headline. This Sharia Free America Caucus is growing. The tide is turning to our relentless battle to safeguard the very foundations of our great nations. We told you about the creation of Sharia Law America Caucus. We brought you their latest press conference. Now, the Sharia Free America Caucus in Congress has just welcomed its 47th member, co-founded by the underlying unyielding champions of freedom, Chip Roy and Keith Self of Texas, etc. The latest warrior to join the ranks is Republican Anna Paulina Luna of Florida, a fierce defender of our values who recognized the clear and present danger. Quote, this isn't just another addition. It's a thunderous statement that more and more representatives are waking up to as this threat in our nation. And it goes on to talk about what's happening in the UK, what's happening in France, what's happening in Germany, and what is rapidly taking place in America, lest we do something to cease, cause it to cease and stop, and what is taking place. Listen, even in places like Tennessee, there's an attempt today through the Department of Education in Tennessee to set up prayer rooms with prayer rugs in the schools. And God forbid that you put the Ten Commandments in school. God forbid that you set up a room where the Bible can be read and people can talk about Jesus. God forbid that take place in the public school system. But ladies and gentlemen, that's happening in America. We see what's happening in New York. See what's happening in Texas. See what's happening in Minnesota. We see what's taking place in New York and Texas and Minnesota and Michigan. That's where I'm looking. Michigan. Ladies and gentlemen, we see it now rumbling across the stage of what is called the United States of America. And we need to realize very quickly and cautiously that there is danger ahead. And lest we intervene and do something, lest we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, lest we be the watchman on the wall warning of danger ahead, danger ahead. And let me just insert this. Perhaps you say, what can I do? Everyone listening today, you need to email, text, call, or get in touch with your congressman, the U.S. House of Representatives, and urge them to support the No Sharia Law Caucus in America, and to ask them to in some way, somehow, prevent anybody that has Islamic links, Islamic background, Islamic leanings, to prevent them from being able to run for public office in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to take a moment as we close this segment before we go to our top of the hour news. I want you to hear what is being said in relationship to this that has taken place in Tennessee.
Tennessee school districts, well, they have introduced Islamic prayer rooms, modified dress codes, all to allow hijabs and, of course, other religious attire. And they have adjusted school calendars, folks, to accommodate Islamic holidays. Islamic holidays to worship Satan, because that's who Allah is. The description of Satan in the Bible matches the description of Allah in the Quran. And this is now happening in the state of Tennessee. I've been warning you guys now for a couple of years that Texas is basically already fallen and that now they're going to go after Tennessee. And here we are. They're creating long-term demographic and cultural shifts that are going to fundamentally alter not only public education in the state of Tennessee, but also the worldview of many, as many will be, if not converted, at least compromised with believing Islam is compatible and acceptable with our way of life as Americans. It's going to turn the public schools into basically training centers for Islam. I mean, the liberals, they go nuts over the thought of posting the Ten Commandments, which are the foundation for our civil code in America. We can't have that, but we can let the Muslims come in and get their Islamic holidays and school off and halal food and hijabs and teach lies about Islam, not the truth about Islam. What it does to societies and people and countries that it invades.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe you heard what was said and understand it. We have let the enemy in to America. How are we going to respond? What are we going to do? Will Islam win? Or will our Constitution withstand the assault to destroy the United States of America? It seems that Islamic jihadists are on the fast track to control America. Listen, Islam has never changed. Listen, Islam has never deviated. Islam has never changed its track. Islam has never changed its aim. Islam has never changed its ambition for 1400 years. The goal is to Islamicize the globe, the entire world. One of the things that we see happening in Iran is the Shiite Muslims, they look forward to the 12th Imam, the one that is called the Mahdi. He's supposedly hidden in a well, and only when the world is in conflict, confusion, and a total uprising and a war, only then will the hidden Imam, the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, come out of the well and lead all of the world to say yes to Allah and bow to Islam. That's what they're doing. That's what is taking place. This is the reason it's an impossibility almost to get a grasp on what is happening in Iran. But that's part and parcel of their, incremental movement around the globe. As Americans, as Christians, as patriots, we need to be warned. We need to be on the wall as a watchman, warning others of the danger to come. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to have the top of the hour news right after the news. We'll go right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM